Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome in. It is time to roll here on a Tuesday. Great to have you with us, and we have plenty to do today. A lot of really interesting guests. Get you ready for the first big weekend. Don't forget, we'll be on the road beginning on Friday. Every Friday, we'll visit one of your favorite campuses. But let's start right now with some headlines and get right to it. Kirby Smart confident in Oregon football game plan. I know who the quarterback is going to be. Is he talking about his own team or Oregon? Or both. Meanwhile, there's a headline in the Houston Chronicle. Time for Jimbo Fisher to compete for a title at A&M. That's why they're paying him so much money. Lane Kiffin getting reflective. I need Oxford a lot more than they need me. Who wouldn't need Oxford? And this story from The Athletic by Seth Emerson. Hello, Coach. The colorful history of coaches taking live calls on their radio shows. Seth Emerson is live with us, and he's not taking any calls, but he will be taking questions. And Seth, good afternoon. Great to have you on, and certainly Georgia on everyone's mind. We'll talk about your radio call-in story in a minute, but good afternoon, and tell us about the Dogs as they get ready for this opener. It's not getting the attention that Notre Dame, Ohio State is, but some people are a little bit nervous. Should they be?
You know, Paul, the thing is, I was at my son's soccer practice yesterday, and someone was saying, you know, Dogs up favored by 17, you know, are you going to take that? And, you know, the other person's like, oh, I don't know, that's too much. And I was thinking, I don't gamble on these because it's my job, but I really would be hesitant to gamble on week one games ever because you just don't know. There are too many variables in college football to know for sure. We think Georgia's defense is going to be just fine, drop off, but not a huge one, but we don't know it. We think Georgia's offense is going to be even better because of all those weapons, but we don't know it for sure. And Oregon is a fairly big mystery because, I think they're going to be helped by the transition in that Dan Lanning is very much from – he's not changing a lot of things that Mario Cristobal did, and he inherits some talent, but how is Bo Nix? Presumably he's going to be the quarterback. How is he going to do? I mean, there's just so many questions and variables that, like, I would not put any money on this season over.
I don't think too many weeks you should, frankly, but plenty of people do. And let's just play a game here for a second. And if you were trying to argue that this is a tougher game for Georgia than expected, we know all the variables about Oregon, and we know what we don't know. But what would you be most concerned about relating to the Dogs?
You know, I've kind of poo-pooed the idea that Dan Lanning, based on his knowledge of Georgia, will have an advantage because – it's kind of canceled out by Georgia's receivers coach, Brian McClendon, was at Oregon the last 2 years, was actually their coach in the Alamo Bowl. But you do wonder whether Dan Lanning will know that maybe Stetson Bennett isn't as effective when he does this, or when they put this tight end to this side, for instance, that means that a run is coming, that kind of thing. Georgia does know that. They can counter that. They know that, as I've written, they are aware that their former defensive coordinator is now the head coach at Oregon. There was a press conference and everything. This is not a mystery to them. They know that there's that advantage. But I do wonder whether that kind of thing, and you also, Paul, don't know, this is part of the week one thing, whether there is any sort of, I mean, complacency is a loaded word, but you know, as much as Kirby Smart's been trying to fight that this offseason and saying, look, you know, these guys, most of these guys weren't real factors in winning the national championship, so it is a separate team. You do wonder whether there is a little bit of that going on. I definitely don't think there was last year. The mentality around this program going into the Clemson game last year was this: they got to get over the hump. They got to do it. Now that they've done it, I think we find out a lot in week one about whether, not the talent level at Georgia. Talent level is still going to be really good, but about how much they can get up for it again.
Chatting with Seth Emerson of The Athletic, I do want to switch gears for a second because you're right. None of us know, and we'll all think we know more Saturday night. You did a piece on coaches' radio shows. Nick Saban recently mentioned how approachable he is because he does one of these shows. But these shows have been around. First time I heard one, Bear Bryant was doing it in the early 80s, and it was comical to listen to, Seth, but you had to listen. And they've been mainstays ever since. Take us through your reporting and your writing of this piece in The Athletic.
Well, I'd always just been curious about them. And I remember as a beat writer, Mark Richt would take live calls, and it would be on Monday nights. And after doing interviews on Mondays with players, we had to race home or race to our cars to listen to Mark Richt take calls from regular fans. I mean, there was some screening that went on, but not – you know, asking for your name, social security number, and exactly what you're going to say, whatever, because you just didn't know what was going to happen. And particularly after a loss or some bad times, you know, there could be fireworks. Mark Richt, to his credit, would take those calls, and it was entertaining. Kirby Smart, when he got here, stopped it. He just takes Twitter submissions. And so I thought, well, I was kind of curious about that. How many coaches are no longer taking live calls on the radio? And I talked to some people around the country, including Skip Mosick, who runs does the show at Ohio State and has done it for decades. And they have also gone away from that. And he said there's some good reasons for that. You know, as you'd suspect, that a lot of it is coaches just kind of want control, and they don't want negative calls, but they also want more control. And not to cast aspersions on what you and your show does, Paul, but in terms of creating character calls, that was something that was mentioned by a few people to me, is they want their radio show to be informative. They don't want it to be people calling in creating these characters. And so that's why that's kind of gone away. But there's a lot of still romance in it. The idea that coaches very just kind of democratically take phone calls from live people, live fans. And it still happens at some places. Alabama's one of them. And I asked Nick Saban about it, and he talked about, like, you know, yes, sometimes we do get a negative call, but sometimes we deserve a negative call. And then there are many stories through the years, and obviously I couldn't get them all in, about just kind of some entertaining back and forth instances with coaches and callers. And it's a fascinating thing that I'd always thought about, that these coaches just put themselves out there and take questions from regular fans.
Seth, nowadays these guys all make so much money, but there was a time, was there not, and you allude to this, that this was a big part of their income, whatever they did outside of coaching.
Yeah, and once the salaries went up, it more became like it's broken down in terms of there's a base salary, there's a media agreement, but that's kind of just done for accounting purposes. But in the old days, it was a lucrative part. It was like, you know, this is part of the reason they put up with it, is that they were paid extra for these things. And that's one of the reasons that they've got a lot more leverage now, coaches do. So they say, well, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm not going to take the calls, or I'm not going to do the show this way. But they still do them, and they still are quietly very well rated, from what I can tell, shows. People listen to them. I actually, I'm ashamed to admit, I don't know if Scott Frost, what he does, but I got to imagine his show this week was pretty interesting. And it's always just kind of been fun, although I do lead with the anecdote of when Barry Alvarez was starting at Wisconsin in 1990, his assistant coaches, as one of them told me, had to call in himself and pretend to be a caller in order to fill up airtime because the interest wasn't there. But, for instance, at Nebraska this week, probably plenty of interest, plenty of phone calls, just not the type that Scott Frost would like to be taking.
I hope those call-in shows that take live calls screen them better than we do here, because we let anyone on.
As I am on with you right now as an example.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we do screen the calls. You know that, Seth. But we don't want we don't really want to know too much. To me, the idea of a great call-in show is the extemporaneous, the unpredictability. Obviously, Kirby Smart would not be a good radio producer, but he's a very good football coach. Hey, thanks for coming on. We will see you soon. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Paul.
Good stuff from Seth Emerson joining us here. We have a lot of guests that will be joining us throughout the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. First, a break.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we will have Chris Stewart on in about an hour. He is, for now, the play-by-play announcer for the Crimson Tide. Nick Suss covers State for the Clarion Ledger. And Ben Portnoy. Don't think we've had Ben on before. Great reporter at the State. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And Davis starts us off from Austin. Hello, Dave.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Did I hear you right at the start of the show that they're expecting a title in A&M?
That is correct. Some people are.
Well, I tell you what. Let me tell you something, dude. They can poop in one hand and expect another and see which one fills up first. Because that ain't happening. Saban was right. They paid them boys to go there. I don't know what proof he had, but he was right all along. Because who wants to go to A&M and College Station? What do they got? Dixie Chicken? I mean, they got nothing. Nobody in the right mind would want to go to school there without being paid. Who want, I mean, male cheerleaders? Come on. What do they got? What do they offer?
Dave, let's get the cat out of the bag. Which school do you cheer for?
Well, I'm from Austin. Which one do you think?
I don't know. Austin's got a lot of schools.
No, the Longhorns.
Oh, really?
Their daddy. And we've always been their daddy. And, Paul, you know, you might want to change the intro to your show when it shows you dancing with those milkmen down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we refer to them as, the milkmen, because they got the all-white suits. I mean, you're old enough to remember that, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, they ain't winning nothing. Because when Daddy gets in this conference, they're going to be little brother all over again.
Well, Dave, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you for checking in, okay?
All right.
Wow. Raring to go, wouldn't you say? How about Gage is in New Mexico? Hello, Gage.
How are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. First thing I want to say to you before I ask you my question is a couple weeks ago I was listening to your show and there was a guy that was just hating on our country, and I love the way that you handled yourself, me, a Marine Corps vet, and the way that I heard you do that. You know, I'm a Michigan fan, and I don't like a lot of things that you have to say about my team, but I like how you handled yourself on that, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you very much, Gage, and all of us appreciate your contribution and sacrifice. We're glad you're on board.
Now, my question for you is, I've never heard of this, what's going on. You know, I have feelings about Harbaugh at Michigan. He's had somewhat of success in the later years, but of course we couldn't get over the hump. We finally did against Ohio State. I was at the Georgia game. It was embarrassing to see McNamara out there. Once JJ got out there, it was too late. But what is this starting one QB the first game and then starting another the second? I've never even heard of that.
I haven't either, Gage, and it's Jim Harbaugh at his absolute weirdest. But you have to come to this conclusion. It doesn't make a lot of difference considering the weak opponents. I don't know what promises Harbaugh has made. Maybe somewhere along the line he told the other guy, I don't know why you would have told him that, but I wouldn't get too upset about it. It's essentially a preseason game. Thank you for the call. Jay is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jay.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. It's good to talk to you. I'm excited about this time of the year. I was wanting to ask you two questions. One's about Alabama, which I'm an Alabama fan, but in the past years, we've always played, it seems like, a predominantly powerhouse. This year playing Utah State at home, and we usually play in a different venue, which is a large venue. And I know that's got a lot to do with scheduling. But
Here's the explanation, Jay. You're right. Alabama has not every year, but most years played the first game. Last year, Miami. They have played Southern Cal and Michigan and Clemson and Virginia Tech. Florida State four years ago. This year, the schedule fell strangely for whatever reason, and they're playing their big game on the second week against Texas. It's a home and home, and I don't know exactly. Maybe Chris can tell us in a few minutes when he joins us. So that's their big game. I mean, Utah State is it's an okay team.
Don't get me wrong.
A couple of years ago they played Colorado State. I mean, it's a game that's certainly an interesting opener, but. I don't know specifically why it ended up that way, but one thing that Alabama is not doing anymore, and I think most fans applaud this, they're not playing these boring, sterile Atlanta games that they kick the season off. And you remember they played Duke a couple of years ago. I mean, that game was laughable. I mean, nobody wanted to see that game. But you make these games out years in advance, you end up with that. And to me, the Texas, they have so many big matchups on the docket for the future. That's the wave of where things are going right now. Andre is up next. Good afternoon, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Look, Coach, I was listening to the guy Dave from Austin, Texas. You tell him if he don't get help at Charter, get help somewhere, Coach. You know, Texas is also ran in the Big 12. Now, how they think they're going to step into this octagon and be daddy? Was he really serious, Coach?
He sounded serious, but I think sometimes he's caught up more on maybe the social standing. And I didn't even push back because I think anybody in College Station knows how much I think of that place and what that university stands for and the chills that I get when I see those cadets and I see the contribution that A&M has made, not only to what we like so much, but to this country with so many servicemen. I'll let the Longhorn have his day, right. at least until the season starts.
Look, Coach, and the guy, the Michigan fan that called in, and he said by the time Harbaugh switched quarterback, Georgia just scored again. Come on, man, get serious. Put that weed down, man. It didn't matter what quarterback was going to be on the field. Georgia was going to punch their lights out, and that's just how it was, Coach. And I'm an LSU fan saying this. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thank you very much. Cade is up next in Mississippi. Cade, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to know, with Desmond Howard picking A&M to win the national championship, what do you think on that, and what do you think the Aggies are going to do this season?
Well, I mean, the last time anybody took something Desmond Howard said seriously has been a while, so I'm not overly concerned about his preseason national championship prediction, but I think it's a stretch. I mean, I understand where some people are coming from. I think Texas A&M is close, but I think 10-2 is a little bit more likely than winning the national championship.
All righty, sir. What you think about Haynes King?
I like him, and I thought last year had Haynes King not been hurt, A&M would have had a completely different season. I don't think they would have lost to Mississippi State. Or Arkansas, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I think Arkansas was good enough last year to win that game. But I think they would have had a much better year, and I think they're going to have a big year. It's just a matter of can they negotiate Alabama, which I don't think they can right now. We don't know what Alabama's going to look like if things change. And ultimately, it's a great team. It's a team that's on the – let me stop. It's a good team that could be great. I don't think they're a great team yet. Coy is up next. Hello, Coy. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I just want to know, what do you want to see happen between Florida and Utah on Saturday? What would make you happy?
I'd like to see Florida win. that to me would really make the Billy Napier era start off with a bang, and I think it would – then changed the dynamics of the next week's game, which is against Kentucky. And I was a little concerned about Kentucky yesterday, hearing some of the players that won't be in that game. We don't think we'll be in the game. We'll know more after this weekend. But I think the Gators have a really good shot at winning this game.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, and it's not that I don't respect Utah. I was with Matt Berry earlier on his show, and he thinks Utah, like many people, like McElroy yesterday, think they could end up winning the Pac-12. But this is their toughest game, and it's one thing to win the Pac-12 against Oregon or Southern Cal or somebody else. It's another thing to win in the Swamp. We will take a break. A lot to do here on the show. We hope you'll stick around. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Will is also with us from North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey there.
It's kind of a slow sports afternoon yesterday, so I really latched on to this Jim Harbaugh quarterback decision, calling it biblical, and I'd like to give you my take on it.
I wish you would.
I know you just had a guy that called in, was a Michigan fan, but, I mean, over the summer, had his pro-life thing, and had his salary reduced last year, and I think he's shooting for political office and after he gets the hook at Michigan. I mean, last week...
He's considering some of the dudes running right now. He's just crazy enough to be elected.
I think that's what he's honestly shooting for. I mean, I don't think... I think he knows that Michigan is only going to last for so long or whatever. And, I mean, you look at Tommy Tuberville you had on a week or so ago. He's worked out quite nice in the political realm. And, I mean... Maybe what Jim Harbaugh said was right, technically, or whatever.
But you know something, though? And Will, I'm going to give Harbaugh a rare compliment, but I think he may be too honest for politics. I think to be a successful politician, you have to be a pathological liar. And I've heard Harbaugh is not a liar. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great coach or... But he tends to more lean with his heart than he does with his pocketbook.
That's true. I do consider him a straightforward guy, and I mean he says what's on his mind. So yeah, but that may be better than most conservatives or whatever.
Well, I don't know if you can do that. It doesn't really matter which side you're on in politics, but you really can't tell the truth. You just have to tell the story that fits. The party that you're subscribing to at that moment.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to get into all that.
And by the way, it doesn't mean you can't change it the next day.
Yeah. Maybe that's kind of what happened this summer too. Was he loves Michigan, but he also loved the Vikings interview, and maybe I think that's what's going on. He's preparing for his next venture after he gets the hook in Michigan. I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Let's check in with Trey in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
How's it going?
Very well.
I was going to give you my idea for the NIL, and now since Dave had to put his little stamp on something, am I right or am I wrong that Texas walked into Fayetteville, Arkansas, and that was a complete blowout?
It was. You are correct. It was a severe beatdown.
Yeah, and they're fixing to experience another SEC boxing match, and the SEC is going to come out.
Yeah, that will be next 2 weeks from now.
Yep. And now my idea for NIL is that every team gets 5 offensive players out of there and 5 defensive players out of there. And also, I'm going to make a prediction for Arkansas, their first game, and then our record.
Okay, sure.
First, I want your input on my transfer portal idea.
Trey, it's a good idea. I don't know if it's practical based on the system we have, but it certainly, if the two of us could rule the world, we might be able to make it work.
Yeah. All right. My prediction for Arkansas, first game, it's going to be ugly. Okay. I'm giving Arkansas 38-24, Arkansas walks out with the victory.
Okay.
And you're probably going to laugh at me.
Probably.
But I think 10 wins.
10
and
wins
2
for Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I'm not laughing. It would be an amazing year. The schedule is frightening, but Sam Pittman is also that good of a coach. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Dave is up next.
Well, hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Legend mentioned yesterday Conrad Doppler.
Yes.
And gosh, I've never seen such a mean, dirty player in my life. Me and Peggy used to watch him with the Cardinals, and leg whipping, eye gouging.
Yeah, he was considered the dirtiest player in the NFL. Played for the Cardinals, didn't he?
Yes, he did for several seasons, and then he went on somewhere else.
And by the way, I am speaking of the St. Louis Cardinals, not the Arizona Cardinals.
Right, right. That's back when we had him. Yes. And Peggy even got a book signing with him whenever he was here in town, and she enjoyed that. He did make some inappropriate comments.
Hold on. So what did he say to Peggy?
Well, he made a reference to one of her body parts.
Which one?
Her breast.
Well, that would be two. I'm not trying to be funny here, but that would be two body parts.
Well, yeah, I didn't.
So,
make that clear.
So Conrad Dober, those of you who don't know who he was a dirty player. He wrote a book. I think he was billed as the dirtiest player in the NFL. And so while your wife is getting her book signed, he said what to her? You can tell us.
Okay, he says, "Man, you have big boobs."
Ooh.
Now, yeah. are you sure, Dave? That's what he said.
Yes, that's what Peggy told me.
Okay, because
we're real honest.
It seemed to me that maybe he said to her, "Hey, why are you married to this boob?"
Well, I guess I could have.
I think that's what he said. I think Peggy needs to. That's why she didn't want to tell you that, because you had just been married, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So she made up
and
the story
right.
that
I he am was, the biggest boob.
Yeah, but, is that singular, not plural? Anyway, we're up against a break. No more boob talks on the show today. This is a family program, and we are coming right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Pat is in Georgia.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Let's talk about Georgia and Oregon. Depending on which Georgia shows up and how fast they wake up, I think it might be 17-14 or maybe 31 or 34-14, and Georgia wins. I mean, it's a home game for Georgia. How many Oregon fans are going to show up? There'll be 60,000-70,000 dogs in there. And I think Kirby Smart's smart enough to figure out it. I mean, about the defensive coordinator being the head coach at Oregon now. But anyway, it'll be a good game. Do you have an opinion on the score? And I do want to talk about Kentucky for
a
minute.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have a final score in mind. I mean, I think it's a slog early on for Georgia. I agree with you on that, but I think ultimately the weapons that Georgia has is enough to get them over the top. And I don't want to be dismissive of Bo Nix, but it all depends on what he has to work with.
Yeah, and we took care of Bo at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean Bo, yeah, I never could quite figure out what the problem was for Bo, whether it was Bo or the coaching he was getting.
Well, and Bo's grandfather was head coach here in Warner Robins at Northside High School and won some state championships. But anyway, Kentucky, their ace running back. I'm going to assume, and I know what happens when you assume, but I'm going to assume that he is not an alcoholic and that he does not have a disease, that he's just dumb right now. That has always just irked me, okay? If you want to get me riled up. And I've had a number of email conversations with Mark Rick and Greg McGarrity. It's a business, and you can't do that. You put the team at risk. You put the fans at risk. It's been a business for a long time. We're just now deciding that it's professional for a number of reasons, but that just can't happen. I mean, that if he's not allowed to play when they play Florida and they lose that game, I mean, what's the rest of their season going to look like?
It's pretty much the whole season right there, Pat.
Well, I mean, they don't
have a way back if they lose to the Gators.
Well, and the conversations I've had with people is you have a responsibility. You recruit, and I'm not – I mean, this is SEC-wide, but it really irks me at Georgia. You recruit people. They're on a team. Yeah, they're 18-year-old, 19-year-old people, but do what you got to do to keep them from screwing up like that and hurting everybody else in the conversation. I mean, that's just one of my pet peeves.
No, I'm glad to hear it. Well said. Appreciate it very, very much. Ken is up next in Texas. Hey, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for my call. Quick question. What's going to happen to the Longhorn Network once Texas joins the SEC?
The Longhorn Network, as it currently exists, will go away. It will be folded into the SEC network. And then I don't know the second part of this, whether it will still have some digital presence, but it will not. It will no longer be a standalone network like it is now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, I don't know what's going to happen to the Longhorn Network, but here's what I think about Texas. Steve Sarkisian is a genius. Think about all the quarterbacks that sat in the wings, Joe Burrow, Cardale Jones, and then all of a sudden they get their chance and they're champions. I think Texas has a good chance this year, aside from one game against Alabama, to run this, and nobody's talking about them. I got them on the map for a big, big
season. What if Ewers has a breakout year and Manning shows up next year with almost no chance of winning the job?
Oh, yeah. And, well, they got Hall, they got Tucker Dorsey, they got Billingsley. I wouldn't underestimate them this year. I think he's smart to put Ewers in right away.
Yeah, I tend to think they're going to have a good year. As you look at the schedule, it's pretty manageable. They could until they get to Oklahoma, they could have a good run. And
look,
you just never know. The Big 12 is not a juggernaut in my mind. I know a lot of people bang the drum for them, but I've never been that big of a fan. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's talk to George next. Hello, George.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I've never called in before. Your wife was my mother's doctor.
Oh my! Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. And I was in Birmingham the other night, George, and I still run into patients from her who will not speak to me for taking her out of Birmingham.
Oh, I know. She was great.
Thank you.
What I wanted to. I'm a Alabama and Mississippi State fan. Years ago, Auburn was undefeated and going into playing Mississippi State. Game was almost over, and Auburn got cocky and threw a pass. My high school mate and friend intercepted the ball. Well, they first play of the game after they intercepted the ball, Auburn knocked the Mississippi State quarterback out. Well, they sent in the second string quarterback. They knocked him out. They sent in my friend who had intercepted the ball, and Sonny, his name was Sonny Fisher, went in and threw a touchdown pass and beat Auburn and knocked his own game. Auburn lost that year.
What year was that, George?
All right, I just wanted to call in and give Sonny's name on the air.
George, before you go, what year was that? Do you remember?
It was in the early 60s.
Okay.
Probably about 62 or 3.
Wow, that's a great story.
I know I was in the Army at that time. But I really enjoyed it. And
is your friend still around?
Yes, he owns a car dealership, I think, in Demopolis, Alabama.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope he was out trying to sell a car today, listening to us, and he heard his name.
I wanted to say that, and I enjoy your show tremendously.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for taking it.
Have you ever been on one of those test drives, Keith? Would this be a good show to have on while you're showing? You know, just you're on, sir, you're on the wrong side of the street. You need to get back over here. I would think in Alabama, when you get into a car, isn't the Feinbaum show automatically on? I mean, I can't imagine that there's another. Yeah. We make a right here at the corner of Nick Saban Drive. We will take a break. Speaking of Nick Saban, we'll talk to the current play-by-play announcer at Alabama in the next few minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.